90, please. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 4. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Moses wrote Psalm 90 and 91, and they had crossed the Red Sea. He took them on their journey towards the Promised Land, and Moses led God's people right to the brink of the Promised Land, to the very door, and then they sent out those 12 spies, if you recall. And the spies came back with a glowing report of how the land was filled with plenty, but they also came back with a negative report concerning their power to conquer it. And the people became frightened because of this report, and because of it, Israel lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were not permitted to go into this land of plenty. And it's during this period that Moses writes Psalm 90 and 91. And imagine camping out. You ever go camping? I went, the last time I went was when the boys were young, a lot younger. I love to camp. But you know, after a couple of days, I've had my fill of it. One summer vacation, we rented a cabin, one of the state parks off of Route 80. And I didn't really think it was camping. It was pretty modern. It had electricity in the cabin. There was running water, but no, how shall we say, there was an outhouse. And I remember Lori was quite young, and she was a teenager, and John was a teenager, and Matthew was a teen. Three teenagers, folks, I've raised at the same time. Three. That's where all these gray hairs came from. There was a period of time we had three teenagers in the same house. And I remember how Lori was, the first day, she says, well, where do I plug the hair dryer? You know, and oh, an outhouse? Dad, this is really old-fashioned. I said, honey, this is not really camping. This is really modern. I mean, you could even plug in your TV set if you wanted to. But I remember how that after a few days, even at that, we were ready to come home. But can you imagine camping out for 40 years, living in tents? 40 years. No dwelling place, no house, no carpet, no ceiled tile, no walls, just camping out. That's what Israel did for 40 years. And during this time, Moses writes Psalm 90 and 91. These two psalms are used by the Jews. Whenever they were in trouble, they would read these chapters. Especially in times of war, when Israel would go to war, they would spend a lot of time reading Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. They were popular chapters when the Jews went into Babylonian captivity. And they were stuck there by God as discipline for their lack of faith in entering the Promised Land. And that, what a warning that should be to us. Amen? That should be a warning to us. Because God promises us an abundant Christian life. He promises us a spirit-filled life. But if we continue to disobey Him, He disciplines us. And we can never lose our salvation, but we can lose the joy of the Lord. We can lose the power of prayer. We can lose the blessings that come from having God's blessing upon us. And there is a big difference in being blessed by God and just abiding under the mercies of God. You know, even the lost world abides under the mercies of God. You say, well, how does God extend His mercy to a lost world? They get to live. They get to go out and go to work. And they get to experience work the Lord provides for them. Everything the lost world has is because that God is merciful. And but in any event, this is a warning to all of us to not get into a spiritual rut. And that's why we have evangelists come frequently to get us out of our spiritual ruts. Amen? To want to have revival constantly. And I pray that our revival continues. I pray that people continue to want to follow the Lord and get saved and get baptized and to go out witnessing and to learn how to pray and to get excited about reading the Bible again. And, you know, there are some things in this world that are old-fashioned, and I want to talk to you about a few things tonight. You know, in our current day of television and satellite TV, and I don't know if they bother you, but I'm always getting phone calls that so many people want you to buy satellite TV, as though it's something fantastic. I don't know, maybe it is, but I just don't have time to talk to all the people that want to sell us things today. It's either satellite TV or cable TV or some new thing that you just have to have, and they want to know about your mortgage interest payments, and people call, total strangers calling you on the phone wanting to know who you do banking with. I don't have time to talk to such people, do you? Amen. That's why I got caller ID. And when someone calls, it's an 800 number, I know I can just keep on eating dinner. Amen. But we live in a day of push-button homes and jet air travel and old-fashioned things that are pretty much forgotten except for special occasions and celebrations. But have you ever stopped to think that certain things in our modern world are absolutely unchanged? After thousands of years, even more than these things have defied every effort of man to change them. For example, when a baby has to cry, a baby has to cry. Amen? Nothing's going to change that. That's like telling a dog not to bark is to tell a baby not to cry. Amen? It just comes natural. But some things do not change. And I'm glad that we serve a God that does not change, as we have just read in the scriptures. In Psalm number 90, we find that before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God never changes. What he was a million years before the worlds were made, he is right now. What he is now is what he's going to be countless millions of ages from now. And if you think about that too long, you'll go a little crazy. Because we are not eternal beings in that sense. We have finite minds. It's hard for us to understand what eternity really means. We just have to take God at his word. Amen. But what are some things that do not change? I was thinking of sickness. That doesn't change. That's always the same. The misery of sickness. Suffering. Suffering hasn't changed much in 6,000 years. We just have different names for it. And death itself. They're all old-fashioned things that don't change. Ever since the fall of man, in spite of the strides that we've made in medicine, and we've made some great strides in medicine and in science, and all the technical know-how, yet sickness and suffering and death are still the masters of mankind. And America has thousands of hospitals and clinics and mental institutions that are taxed to the limit to house those that are physically ill, those that are mentally ill. And yet we still have a world that has hunger and starvation, daily experiences for people around the world. I guess it's safe to say that sickness hasn't changed. Sickness doesn't change, suffering doesn't change, and death are still old-fashioned. Death has not been outmoded in our modern civilization. Still people die every day. Every day you see the hearses go by and you see the traffic stop and the obituaries are still printed every day, and death doesn't change anything. The Bible declares, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so death hasn't changed. Every day we get a little closer to our Maker. One more day closer to the day of days when we'll meet the one that has given us life. We meet the one that has given us purpose. We meet the one that has been so good to us in our journey. Yes, sickness, sin, and death are old-fashioned. Sin is very old-fashioned. It's so old-fashioned that modern society is trying to pretend that it doesn't exist. It's an ugly word to our day. We call them wrongdoings. We call them errors. We call them failures. We call them mistakes. We call them anything but what the Bible says that it is. The Bible calls it sin. But yet, it's the reality that remains. God's word clearly states that you and I, all of us, have become guilty of sin. But thank God that the remedy for sin is old-fashioned too. Amen? And yet we live in a day when people don't like to call things sinful. Lester Roloff, I love him. He's been in heaven many years now. Old-time preacher. He used to say, sin fascinates, then assassinates. It gets your attention. It gets your eyes. It gets your ears. It gets your senses. And it tempts you. And it fascinates you. And then when you partake of it, and it assassinates you. Well, Lester Roloff, how he could preach. What a country preacher. He's the only preacher I know that worked his way through Bible college milking a cow. He literally took a cow to Bible college and milked the cow and sold the milk to pay his bills. Boy, that is old-fashioned, amen? That's really something. But sin is old-fashioned. Oh, we change the names of it today. We don't like to call things that the way the Bible calls them, and yet God says that sin is our enemy. Sin is that what caused our Lord to say, my God, why do you forsake me? It was sin that caused the nails to be driven into his hands and feet. It's sin that robs a family of money when the breadwinner is addicted to drugs and alcohol. It's sin that destroys lives and crushes dreams. Oh, sin is nothing to play with, is it? It's a terrible thing. For the Christian, it is the constant battle that we battle against our flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But thank God that Jesus is victorious over the grave and over sin itself and death, and he is our Savior. Oh, sin has ruined so many homes today. It seems that alcohol is making a comeback. I don't think it's ever died out, but what is the price of a drink? I'd like to read you a short poem about what a drink really costs. 10 cents a glass. It's an old poem. Say, well, how much does it cost? I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. 10 cents a glass. Does anyone think that that is really the price of a drink? 10 cents a glass, I heard you say. Why, that isn't very much to pay. Oh, no, indeed. 'Tis a very small sum. You are passing over twin's finger and thumb. And if that were all that you gave away, it wouldn't be very much to pay. The price of a drink, let him decide, who has lost his courage and lost his pride, and lies a groveling heap of clay, not far removed from a beast today. The price of a drink, let that one tell, who sleeps tonight in a murderer's cell, and feels within him the fires of hell, honor and virtue, love and truth, all the glory and pride of youth, hopes of manhood and wreath of fame, high endeavor and noble aim. These are the treasures thrown away at the price of a drink from day to day. 10 cents a glass, how Satan laughed, as over the bar the young man quaffed, and beaded liquor, for the demon knew the terrible work that drink would do. And before morning the victim lay with his lifeblood swiftly ebbing away, and that was the price he paid, alas, for the pleasure of taking a social glass. The price of a drink, if you want to know what some are willing to pay for it, go through the wretched tenement over there with dingy windows and broken stair, there where foul disease like a vampire crawls with outstretched wings or the moldy walls, where poverty dwells with her hungry brood, wild-eyed as demons for lack of food, there shame in a corner crouches low. There violence deals its cruel blow. The innocent ones are thus accursed to pay the price of another's thirst. 10 cents a glass. Oh, if that were all, the sacrifice would indeed be small. But the money's worth is the least amount we pay, and whoever will keep account will learn the terrible waste and blight that follows the ruinous appetite. 10 cents a glass, does anyone think that that is really the price of a drink? You know, drink ruins many a home. People go without. that are addicted to drink and drugs. Yes, sin is old-fashioned. It doesn't change. But thank God that God is also old-fashioned. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd like you to look at James chapter 1 and verse 17, please. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Charge. Sounds like you're all charged out. That heat got to you today, amen? How hot did it get out there? Anybody know? 90? 91? 92? 94 last you checked, huh? That's hot enough for me, amen. I praise the Lord for fans and air conditioners, amen. James 1:17, please. You find it? Read it with me. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. No shadow nor turning. God never changes. He's always the same. The effect that the sun has on us changes. Comes up early in the morning when it's cool, and then at the noontime it gets hot and the shadows start to come. But the effect of the sun has changes. But God is always the same. He's the same in the spring. He's the same in the summer. He's the same in the fall. He's the same in the winter. He's the same when you're young. He's the same when you're a teenager. He's the same when you're a young adult. And he's the same when you get older. We'll just put it that way, when you get older. Amen. God is always the same. He was the same in the 20th century as he was in the 19th century, as he is today. He was the same in the days of Moses as he is today, because he can't go against his character. He cannot go against his personality. God never changes. You and I, we change all the time. As a matter of fact, every day we get older. God doesn't know what it's like to be older. He's always the same. Yes, God, I think it's safe to say that God is old-fashioned. Moses was a patient man, but can you imagine putting up with a million complaining people for 40 years? Even the patience of Moses was tried. Matter of fact, he was a mild-mannered man. But even Moses crossed the line and lost his temper. Amen? But can you imagine what it was like? All those people. And the leader, Moses, and they're coming to Moses. Moses, we're thirsty. We don't have water. Moses, we're hungry. We need food. Moses, we don't like the food that we have. Moses, why did you bring us out here in this lousy wilderness? We were better off in Egypt. All the complaining they did. And that's why they led the life that they lived for those 40 years. Because of all the complaining and the hardness of their hearts. And complaining. Imagine what it was like for Moses to lead all those people of complaints. Oh, boy, it must have been something to see. Can you imagine a million people living in tents, needing to be fed, needing water, needing their children cared for, all because they listened to the report of the 12 spies, 11 of them, well, 10 of them came back and said, we're not able. We're not able to go into the land. We're not able to take it. Only two said, we are able. Aren't you glad that with God, we are able to do what he wants us to do? Yes, God is old-fashioned. I guess I'm a little old-fashioned too. I've been preaching 30-some years. I started out and I made a list of some things that I was against. I got to take inventory every now and then to make sure I'm still on the right road. I'm still against the gay lifestyle. I know it's getting more acceptable. I know they've infiltrated Hollywood, and I know that they've got some pretty nice programs out there if you like fixing your house. And if you like redoing furniture and stuff, I'm still against the gay lifestyle. I'm against the going to the church of your choice. I think we ought to go to the church of his choice. That means he has a plan for our life. I'm against sex education in school. I'm against getting the permission of the United Nations to protect us against our enemies. I'm glad that we have a president that's protecting us and our grandchildren. I'm against the ecumenical movement that says all religions are the same. They're not the same. I'm against pornography. I'm against taverns and bars and modern music. You know, with every decade, you get different modern music. Now they got rap music. And they got, believe it or not, gospel rap. That word rap, I feel like sometimes rapping people when they hear it. The music is so vulgar today. Four-letter words and these different kinds of music. I'm against the National Council of Churches, which is the stepsister to the soon-coming one-world religion. It's coming, folks. We're not going to be here to enjoy it. But it's coming. And you know, churches like ours are going to feel more and more pressure to give in and to give over and give up as the world promotes one world religion and that ushers in one day the Antichrist. I'm against immodest dress in both men and women. Amen. I applaud ladies that wear skirts and dresses. I'm against the unisex movement. Getting harder for me to find a barber that will cut the hair. I don't want to go into details. Give me a haircut, man. You know, give me a trim. It's getting harder and harder to find an old-fashioned barber. All mine have died on me. Yes, I guess I'm old-fashioned. I still read my King James Bible. I still believe in prayer. I still go soul-winning and witness to confront people with the gospel, to seeing if they're willing to turn to God. I'm still a little old-fashioned. I don't wear a white collar to tell you what vocation that I belong to. Matter of fact, you might even see me on my motorcycle some evening. Amen. God uses us just as we are. I guess I'm old-fashioned. I still preach on sin. I still believe in hell and judgment. I believe hell has fire and that Satan is real and that Jesus is God and the only begotten Son of God. I believe that the world was created in 7 literal days and I believe that we should love one another and show it. I believe to a sin-hating, Bible-believing, hellfire, brimstone preaching church right here in Garfield. I believe in an old-fashioned altar where people can come and pray and where people can come and make decisions concerning their life. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't chew tobacco. Linda wouldn't let me. I don't go to the movies. I don't care what Hollywood thinks. I don't care what they think about our foreign policy either. They may be popular, but and they have a right to their opinion, but I don't really think we should pay it much mind concerning our national security. I'm an independent Baptist. Someone asked me, what are you? What in the world are you? I'm an independent Baptist. Don't belong to any denomination. I guess I'm just old-fashioned. I believe in right and wrong and common sense. I believe a man should work to support his family and be an example to them. I believe a man should look like a man. Walk like a man, talk like a man, not have long hair, wear earrings or pocketbooks or lipstick. Now, I didn't think I'd ever have to say that in a Baptist church, but we're getting to the time of the last days where you got to say that every once in a while. I'm afraid some of you guys might give in to the temptation. But believe it or not, men do those things today. And they think that it's trendy is the word. We're living a day where men make believe they're gay. Get this. They make believe they're gay to gain women friends. They call themselves metrosexual. In other words, they're lying to the women they work with to gain their friendship and approval so they can get to know them on a personal basis. How sick. How sick. That men would want to outwardly say that they were gay, even though they're not, so that they could make friends with more women. I was listening to Paul Harvey this week, and he said, more men are buying women's jeans today than ever before because they like the tight fit. I says, oh my goodness, I don't want to hear this stuff. This is getting bad. But I believe that God does not change. Amen. Every once in a while, I go through my list. I want to make sure I'm still on the right track I started off with. So many of my friends have gone the opposite way. Well, they're either not in the ministry anymore, or they compromise their convictions to find congregations that they can go to work for. Oh, listen, folks, God does not change. His word does not change. We're living in a generation that is trying to stay an arm's length distance from the world. And you know what? Over a course of time, you find out that a Christian can really move far away from God. Listen, if this direction, if this speaker represents God, and I'm an arm's length distance from God, and that direction is sin in the world, and every decade the church goes a little further away from God towards the world, we are moving. We're not where we should be, where God wants us to be. The 21st century Christianity might make Christians blush 100 years ago. Think about it. We should be what God wants us to be. When the world decides to go this way, we should say, goodbye. I'm praying for you. I'm trying to reach you. I want you saved, but I'm not leaving here. This is where God wants me to be. These are my beliefs. This is what the Bible says. Well, as the world changes and as people change, isn't that going to make us look different? Yeah. Not only going to look different, we're going to sound different. Amen. And if the joy of the Lord is your strength, you'll still have the blessing of God in your life. Amen. And that's what we want. That's what I want for you. God's blessings upon your life. Let us pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We pray that you would keep us revived, keep us in a spirit of revival, where our minds are upon you, Lord, where we're thinking of you during the day and we're talking to you often. And Father, that we would rather have your approval than man's, and that you would give us the heart to reach those that are outside of Christ. Give us a burden, Lord, that we'll pray for them and work towards seeing them come to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake and honor and glory. Amen.